Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, Survivor News Edition, episode 216, Not Too Much. I serve as your humble and also gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available by Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever it is that you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to subscribe, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. And as always with our Survivor News Edition, make sure you head over to YouTube so that you can follow along to this audio podcast on video. Just type in Bryce Isaiah, hit subscribe, and give that video a thumbs up and let us know in the comments what you think. Woo, baby, bay. We had a episode to discuss this week. I mean, this episode that we just watched of Survivor by far could be one of the best episodes or gameplay wise in such a long time. I am joined this week by Wendell Holland, the winner of Ghost Island, and Jack Atkins from this Netflix, The Circle Season 2. And guess what? As in promised, we recorded together in person. Live. So it's the first time that we really got to interact with each other in person and record a podcast. So listen, bear with me with the audio. It might be a little, you know, a little shaky at times, but I think the visuals over there on YouTube will make up for it. So listen, you are in for a treat. So listen, I'm doing a lot of talking. Let's get into this week's Survivor News. And we are back this week with your Survivor News. And as promised, I am brought to you live and in person, welcoming back to the podcast, Jack, the graduate.
Hey.
What up? It's so weird being in person.
I know. I feel so short, but I'm really the tallest person here.
You just got a low. Longer legs, shorter.
Longer torso. Legs, medium torso, strong back. And.
Whoa.
Where's my whistle? Did you break? If Wendell brought his whistle, and we are reporting live from Florida and welcoming back to the podcast, it is Wendell Holland. You might know him from HGTV. Winner at War, winner, and of course,
two M's.
Ghost Island winner and first merge boot of Winners at War. Welcome to the podcast, Wendell Holland.
Ding!
How are
How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
It is weird to be
it
here.
It is really weird, and I smell Wendell and I smell Jack. So, I mean, I could just like, we're just very close, so I can smell
it. Yeah, Bryce, I don't like how you set up this podcast studio.
It's quite all right. You know, my apartment is a little dusty, so we'll get it together. But yeah, it's weird, like, being here. How does it feel to be a graduate, Jack?
It feels good. Still waiting on the grades to come back through, but yeah, I think I should be all right. It's just, yeah, it's just that last feeling of like, all right, let me make sure everything's good before I really mentally move on with it. But we're here at Hearts of Reality for a good cause and with a bunch of other reality people, and it's just so great to be here and be able to see you guys and then also see podcasts in person and celebrate all of the recent successes we've had.
So. Yes. It's like dad is here with his two kids. Hi, dad.
Are you dad? Are you dad?
He's dad. They call me dad. Yes. And, you know, keeping it moving. You know, we just had an amazing event in D.C. Bryson Wynn Presents the District 43. It was super amazing. So much fun. So much great positive energy. How would you describe it?
It was great. DC's always a good vibe. Like, DC, from whenever we started the district parties, they've always showed up, you know? And we wanted to do something. We've always done something special. We brought Sari first, then we brought Sandra. And then two nights ago, we brought Michelle Fitzgerald.
Michelle shut the house down when she arrived. She arrived mid-episode, and the people went crazy.
They did, yeah. It was a good time.
Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, you know, if we're bringing it to you live and in color, one day after this podcast gets released on the Purple Pants podcast, we will be in L.A. for the finale.
Yes. So sadly, we're all sold out. Very sadly, we are all sold out. Thank you, everybody that's coming. It's going to be an awesome time. Bryce,
try to balance it.
By the way, let me see if I can do magic.
We got things to do.
Sorry,
we're all sold out, but there's another option, of course. There is another option. Okay,
what's the other option?
Not only are we having this party, but on Tuesday night, Aza is having a party.
Oh, for her birthday.
For her birthday. And if you ask me, I think that's going to be really cool because a lot of the reality people will be there. I think the ratio as far as fans to reality people will be
pristine.
Yes.
Well, how would you, Jack, the smart one, what would the ratio to reality stars to karaoke songs be?
It's at least a 1-to-1 songs per star.
Jack, do you have a go-to karaoke song?
Dude, I gotta say I'm not a big karaoke guy. I can't sing, so
you can rap.
I could do a little Jack Harlow. I was in Nashville. I did karaoke with my friends, and we did what song did we do? Country Roads Take Me Home. Because we were down in Nashville, so.
How's it go?
Country Roads Take Me Home.
Take me home.
To the place.
Where I belong.
West Virginia. Mama. Take me home. Country Roads.
Come on.
Bryce, do you have a go-to karaoke song?
I absolutely have a go-to karaoke song, and if you listen to the podcast,
can I guess it?
I mean,
is it Lil' Kim?
Well, what's the name of the song?
Okay, How's it going?
I've been gone for a minute.
Now I'm back
with the jump off.
Goons in the club.
Case of the jump off.
Back up for the
dunks off.
In the graveyard is where you get dunked off. But also, at Oz's birthday party, I will be debuting a new karaoke song.
Is it a Bryce Isaiah classic?
I mean, I'm going to stay in my lane.
Always get the party started.
When I walk through,
turn that in out.
Every time that I come through.
Bottles on deck, so you know I'm
come through.
It's going to be lit, because we bring it out the whole crew.
Oh, Bryce Isaiah, Get the Party Started is streaming available on all streaming platforms. So stream that. But yeah, I'm debuting a new song. I'm going to enlist Wendeezy to help me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What I'm staying in my lane.
What are we going to do?
I'm not going to tell them. You're going to have to come.
Right, they're going to have to wait a minute.
Yeah, tickets are available for Oz's party on Tuesday. Click the link in the Wonderful World of Oz Instagram.
Not only is it a karaoke party,
did
but
you
it's
put
also...
the order on?
Yes. Not only is it a karaoke party, but it's also her birthday party.
Happy birthday.
Stop touching my knee, Jack.
You're the one that set up the situation. All right. There happened to be what I would think is one of the best Survivor episodes in the last few seasons that we need to talk about.
Oh, my God. Ooh. My lips is clearer. I'm sorry.
Bill.
Jesse.
Jesse was able to... I'm going to throw it over to you.
But also, wait. Because we in person.
Yeah.
Don't start. Because I could fight.
I mean, I could fight too. But also,
he can't fight.
If we're in person, it's only right that the person who has been moderating Wendeezy, that we allow him not to moderate. And we're going to give it to the graduate, Jackery Atkins.
I have been moderating.
I mean...
Yeah, what you got to say about that?
You've been doing a great job. They said the moderation this season has been amazing.
Oh. I thought you were going to say, despite what they were saying.
No, Jackson's been good.
Yeah, and because we're in person and because the episode was just so crazy and chock full of moments, like, I'm happy we could freestyle it at some point. It's just because there's so much to talk about with that final move.
Oh my
God. But I do have my notes ready. So let's kick it off. Definitely, I think, one of the best episodes in recent memory of any season.
Yeah. Ghost Island for sure.
Rivals the Wendell merge boot in Winners at War for all-time moments.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it doesn't, because here's the thing. Yes, I was blindsided. They got me good. Mm. And I even remember, like, my confessionals. The producer would ask me, like, so, who's going home tonight? And I was like, Adam Klein is going home tonight.
No, wait. Jack, be the producer. Give this Wendell confessional, and I'll be the cameraman.
The producer is holding him.
He's sitting on a rock over there.
Also, he's filming.
Shit, this is so sorry. I don't want to call.
Who is this?
You're leaving us?
Wait, I have a call. I forgot. You know
what are you doing? Okay.
Shuby will at least say hi to the people.
Oh, sure.
We got the circle in the building.
Yo, what up?
We got circle legend Shoe Mom.
Oh, two guys, my boys. The episode was fire.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good.
If you finish the call, feel free to come back.
Oh, dude. Well,
we love your call.
Yeah.
He's got.
I gave 30 seconds, though. 30 what? Seconds.
All right.
What did you think of the episode?
I thought the episode was great overall.
Yeah. Okay.
The ending was surprising.
Like, ooh.
We're going to get there.
Shocking, yeah.
Who's your winner pick?
I think I was going to win.
Oh. Wow.
Okay.
Was he watching the episode? Oh, daddy.
Shuby's been rallying. Shuby's been rallying too hard.
I love Jesse, and I know everyone thinks Jesse's going to win. I just think Owen's going to come from the left field and take the win.
Yeah, come on, Ozaddy.
Okay, so now that you're saying that, and if we could just jump to this.
Yeah, let's jump to it.
We'll get to confessional later.
Jesse is now making it to Final Five with an idol that no one knows about.
Yeah.
He just had a huge play. He will get to Final Four if he uses his idol.
Mm-hmm.
If you're saying Owen wins,
he has to go home at four.
I think the only way Owen wins is by beating Jesse in fire right there.
Okay, so can we just...
Should we get to the meat and potatoes?
I mean, we get to be great winners, though.
No, for sure.
Well, make your call, Shruby.
Thanks, boys.
Good seeing you.
Which of your ladies is it?
Shruby.
No, this is work.
Why is he so guilty? You know what he's saying?
Listen, my boy's a little drunk.
I'm sober.
Me too. All right,
Shruby, we'll see you.
Hi, Mom. I'm here.
Should I lock it? Mom, I need you to
No, no, no. Leave it open because you're coming back.
Lock it?
To me.
From the outside.
All right. Okay. So, you got me hot. Wait, Jackie's so, moderating, not yeah.
sure. Are we doing
also, yeah, let's do the confession. Okay. Sorry, we are.
So,
winners at war.
You don't have a mic. You're just sitting on a rock over there. I'm sorry. There's a mic above
someone
me.
Someone has a boom, right?
Yeah.
I'll be the boom.
I'll put you your long arm. No, it has to be close to me.
It's so in the middle. Can hear me.
There we go. Not that close.
Okay.
You're the camera.
I need a mic. We're switching it up.
Yeah.
This is the new era. Drop the four, keep the one.
All right.
So, Wendell, who do you think's going home tonight?
Tonight, it's going to be Adam Scott Klein. I think I even said that.
You're an international right now.
Okay. It's going to be Adam Scott Klein. Sorry, Adam. Love you to death. Congratulations on your recent engagement, but you're going home.
Okay, scene. Wow. Next scene, you're Jeff Probst. This is the torch.
Time to read.
Not Adam Scott Klein.
When he said my name, I looked at Michelle. You're Michelle. No, you're a cameraman?
I'm Michelle and a cameraman.
She was, live footage.
What she said, I didn't do it.
Did I do that?
Then I got up with fire tokens in pocket. Are you the cameraman?
I'm Jeff Probst. Wendell, the tribe has spoken.
Then I walked down a long pathway.
On the box with the.
I got up to the box and it had all the names. And I'm like, Dad, I think Michelle might have got me, but that's my girl. And then I'm like, Nick, same thing. Nick's my boy. So I gotta give them both my tokens. I don't know who got me. And I said, the marathon continues.
End scene.
End scene.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Years fast forward 3 years later, and welcome to the podcast, the first merge boot of Winners at War. Woo! Wendell Howard. All right, to this episode, because y'all got me spicy because I have a lot of hot takes.
Okay, sure. Yeah, we'll cover everything that sort of precluded.
Oh,
I think.
Preluded.
The tribal and the big move, but we can zoom through it. Preluded. Oh.
Happened.
Pre-occurred.
Yeah.
Led to, someone could say. But happy to zoom through those and get to the bulk of the episode. But
right to the bulk.
Right to the bulk.
Not what you're thinking, Bryce.
But we get back from tribal council where Sammy went out unanimously. Didn't even vote because he played a shot in the dark. So it was a 6-0 vote. And because the vote is so unanimous now, it's kind of like time for everyone to see where the new lines are being drawn. And so we see Owen go to Cassidy and start to plant the seeds that Carla was not, that Carla was in fact pushing for her. And with this information, Cassidy wants to go to Carla and confirm the story. And Carla ends up pulling out all the stops, fake cries to try to convince Cassie that she's with her. But we can kind of see that Cassie's not really buying it. But Carla says, goes to Jesse and says, Jesse, can you, you know, go corroborate my story? And it cuts to Jesse saying,
3 seconds later,
everything that people have told you about Carla is true. And so Jesse's just farthering that narrative and widening those cracks. But
Jesse's good at this game. The manipulation, I look at him as like a chess master or something. He's good at this. Because I don't know if Bryce came to me crying, saying, oh, please just
tell Jack
that, you know, I wasn't talking trash on him. I don't know if I'd have it in me to be like, I got you, bro.
Yeah.
Yo, Bryce was talking that trash on me. I don't think I'd have it in me.
Yeah.
I just, for me, it hurts a little bit because Carla has been this rock this whole season, and she's been pretty solid. She's played like a pretty flawless game in the sense she's won immunities when it's time to win immunities. She's found the idol. And it's just, for me, it's hard to see her in this position where it's like literally her back is against the wall. But at the same time, I'm like, this is Survivor, and you see what kind of player Jesse is. You see how Noelle went home. A part of me is like wondering, did Carla really think that like Jesse would bridge the gap?
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she did. I think that's why Jesse's been doing so well, is he's shown his ability to make, you know, cutthroat moves, but I feel like he's left his allies after that feeling like he wouldn't make those moves against them and making them feel comfortable with him and like he wouldn't betray them, when in reality we can see that he's willing to make any move he needs to for the $1 million and for his family. And I think that's what's made him so good, is whereas like a Sammy was super cutthroat, but it was very apparent to everybody that he would do whatever. And so it kind of lost him like the respect and the trust of other people in the game. But yeah, it is interesting seeing Carla, who for the most part played very well throughout the game, now is in such almost a bottom position where she's playing from the bottom and she's not being looped. Like, she's so used to being in the loop that it's almost like now she's taking the things people tell her, which aren't really true anymore, as like, oh, well, I still have this social status in the game that people will come to me, and in reality, they're feeding her BS,
right,
and then it's leaving her out of the loop.
And this is the wrong time for this to happen to someone's game.
Yeah, yeah.
She was, if you ask me, she was like in stride all game, and now it's going here. Whereas, man, like, I wish you were floundering, and now your game starts to uptick.
But here I say is that, like, Carla has been straight ahead the whole game. Not like, what's the word? She hasn't, not too high, not too low.
Steady.
So, in actuality, me being a Carla fan, for her to take this stumble, I feel like if she can recover from this, give her $1 million.
Yes. There's only, what, 2 days for her to recover?
I mean, but listen.
Like, this is literal crunch time, as in, for someone to be playing so well all game and then be hit that hard, and then I think we're going to see her get hit again this next episode, because the same person who just undermined her plan and made her look kind of foolish has an idol that nobody knows about.
Okay, so can we talk about this?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to jump around too much.
My
thing is the idol. So we saw Cody ask for the idol back because he wanted to spoof Carla into hyping her up to be like, we're going to play the idols tonight. We ain't playing.
Yeah.
And we never, like, and again, I think this is very pivotal editing, is that, like, we never saw Cody return the idol. So everyone on Twitter and everywhere keeps saying, like, oh, Jesse can return the idol. We don't know that.
I think that in the bottom third language that we saw sometimes, it a lot of times said
two idols.
So he gave one. Yeah, I am so convinced that he had two idols.
So
at what point? Like going into the episode?
I'm talking about at the end of that.
Then why wouldn't have Cody used his idol on himself?
No, that they so I think as far as editing goes, it was an intentional sort of uncertainty.
Okay.
But this episode, Jesse has had both the whole time.
Right.
Gives it back to Cody so he can prove to Carla that he has his idol.
Right.
And then Cody gives it back because the idol that Jesse plays on Owen was Cody's.
How do you know that?
Because it was the one with all the beads.
And so, not too much.
Okay.
So then, here's my thing. And I love me some Cody. And I don't know if he's living or is he playing. In what world, Jack, if I ask you to hold my idol, then I say, I'm going to spoof him.
Spook.
Why would I give it back to you?
Yeah, no, that was my big question is, like, once Cody gets it back.
Like what?
Yeah, there was no reason to return. Yeah, there was no reason to then re-give it back to him.
That, for me, in my opinion, again, great move, respect it, but like Cody just dropped down a lot of points in the Survivor realm, and my points for that. Like, what, like, yes.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Like, even if you trust them, it's like you might as well just hold
the idol.
And there's only two times left you could play it. Like,
yeah.
Like, right. What, you give it back, you survive, literally next tribal, you're gonna be, all right, let me get that back to play for myself.
Right. Like,
what's the why? What's the why behind why he was doing
this? I just think he trusted Jesse so much.
Did he feel like that was his ace in the hole?
I think so. People said that in Cody's exit interviews, he looked at them as Dom and Wendell.
Yeah.
Well, who would he be?
I thought Cody was giving Wendell because, edit-wise, Jesse was looking very much stronger. And in Ghost Island, I thought Dom was looking much stronger edit-wise.
And so...
But you and Cody were more like subtly social, I feel like.
Yeah, and just living.
Yeah.
Build it.
Yeah. But I'm just confused.
No, I agree. I think that was sort of the biggest question mark to me. I mean, I think the move still works if he does have his idol. Right. But
keep talking about
that. Actually, no, I don't think it does. Because once... If Owen plays his... If Jesse would then play his own idol on Owen, Carla plays her idol, Cody would play his idol. So, yeah, I think Cody was a very strong player, but that specifically I thought was a really huge, potentially million-dollar mistake. And I was asking myself the same thing. I'm like, what is the... Like, you're not looking distrustful to just hold on to your own idol. Like,
and again, if... Well, clearly, it's not an if. If... What's the word I want to say? Because it's not an if...
When?
But no, because not when. Because Cody trusts Jesse so much to give the idol back, for me, that just speaks volumes to the level of trust.
Oh!
Legends, introduce the amazing legends, Wendell Howard.
We have my good buddy, the one and only reality TV icon and Survivor Hall of Famer, Johnny Fairplay, and his Shawn Michaels t-shirt.
Oh,
I got the jacket too, don't worry. And everyone's like, where's your championship belt? No. Real Shawn Michaels, it was all about the gimmicks, brother. I got the gimmick pack.
We're good. Oh, okay. All right. Interesting.
What's in it?
That's what TSA used to ask him.
Interesting. So we got the heartbreak kid himself, Shawn Michaels. We have Shan. And we have the wonderful Jessica Milagros from Big Brother. Wow. Welcome. And we have Shan. This was once the Shan Stan podcast. Shan Stan. You're not on the show right now, so we can't be the Shan Stan podcast.
No, it's okay.
We can always be the Shan Stan podcast.
Yeah. Have you guys
have fences
well,
been
I just
mended?
Want to put the rumors to rest. It's true.
It's
Jack and I are together in a relationship.
Oh!
This is a Shan Stan
Can I share? I don't know if you met her. She is smoking hot.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank
wow.
You.
I would have a lot of difficulty voting you out. I assure you.
Well, let's try this again.
Rise in a second.
This is a Johnny Fairplay podcast.
Right, that's right. This is Johnny Fairplay podcast.
Hey, okay. It's a Fairplay podcast.
Fairplay.
Welcome to Reality After Show.
Oh, my God.
I'm Matt Bischoff.
Shout out to Matt. We love Matt.
I think we need a season of 10 Johnny Fairplays versus 10 Shans.
And just wow. Yeah, there would be a lot of music and a lot of inappropriate words. But that's from her tribe. Touché.
Touché. Well, we
started
a craft. Really
thank you for coming by. Jessica, how are you doing?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Milagros.
Yeah. Milagros.
This is my baby.
Bonita.
Aw, thanks, babies. I miss you guys so much.
Oh, we miss you too. That.
Survivor has such a special place in my heart.
That's a special place in my wallet.
It's probably like the show I should have been on. But yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm spending, you know, a lot of time working and doing stuff. And
I wish we could have traded you for Adam Klein.
Oh!
Damn!
He shouts during confessionals, just like Big Brother people that shouldn't do that.
Are you not allowed to shout during confessionals?
Yeah, no!
Dude, they...
I think that explains your season 40 gameplay.
This is no longer a Shannon podcast, like I said when she walked in.
And they missed when we snuffed his torch again.
I will say you shout during confessionals in Big Brother, but they can't hear you. Nobody can hear you, unlike you guys.
No, in Survivor, you can't hear us. It's like way at the other end of the island, and they shut off half the island.
Oh,
that's
really?
Why I'm like,
oh no, not if you have the Beely camera crew. We had the so I was on the Drake tribe on Pearl Islands, so we had the A team.
Okay,
so and Morgan tribe they had the B team.
Yeah.
So we had the merge, and so they brought over, you know, like, they'd alternate. And so the first day, like, fair play, we need to come do a confessional. It was just like, all right, you got 3 minutes tops. Just give me some sound bites and give you a one-liner. I'm out of here. They're like, no. And I was just like, huh? And they're like, well, just right here. I'm just like, okay, number one, we are, like, I can see the camp. I was like, I don't think you understand how I play this game, but none of these people need to hear what I'm saying right now. They're like, it's fine. I'm just like, all right, well, someone stand guard. And they're like, okay. So like, okay, we need to say this word for word. I'm just like, okay, that ain't Johnny Carey. Johnny Carey is the language. I'm like, that's Dara. I ain't Dara. I'm Johnny Carey. You give me a bullet. I got that. They're like, no, this is how we're doing it. And I'm just like, this is not. As I'm saying that, Krista walks around the corner. She goes, hey, Johnny Carey. I'm like, we're done. So I leave. I come there. I'm just like, I will never do anything with them. And they're like, you are not talking to them ever again. Oh, we apologize. I'm so sorry.
They were setting you up.
Yeah, right.
No, it was amateur hour.
Okay.
Amateur hour. That's it. They got the B team. I'm A team. This is A team. You guys understand what A team technology is. Yeah. We're right here.
Right. A phone on the.
Not too much.
Production right here.
We're behind a round table, okay?
I mean, most of us are cut out of the shower.
If you guys saw all the technicality that comes into this program,
it's a wide shot.
Oh, yeah.
This is really good, actually.
Oh, wow.
Y'all look good.
Listen.
Hey.
You still have great lighting, though. You have great lighting on there, so it's good.
Yeah. We set it all up earlier.
So, did you guys know you're going to have special guests?
You know,
because I didn't get the invite. I don't know.
We were hoping people would just
randomly.
Yeah, someone said crash the party. Absolutely,
you guys should be doing this on the balcony or by the pool.
Oh, the balcony.
Is, yeah,
we were placed on the backside.
But sometimes I always
get the backside.
Really?
Yeah. Last night, no one am.
Shout out to Jessica. Not this Jessica.
Not this Jessica.
In your dreams, family.
Clear the air.
Cut the feeds.
The live feeds
are down.
Roll the fish.
Leave the fish now.
Adopt the puppy.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you.
We'll see you in a little bit.
What time do we leave?
Bye.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, you got it. We'll see you next week. Subscribe. Go to YouTube.com. YouTube.com/aftershow. That's my YouTube channel. And just go to realityaftershow.com for everything. Please subscribe. Love these guys. Click like. Thank you. Comment.
Watch out for the lights. Yep. You look good, Fair Play.
I try.
Heartbreak Fair Play.
Johnny and them shorts.
Oh my god.
Well, what? Listen, now I normally leave my door open and you know. But woo!
Chile.
Alright.
That was a lot.
Yeah, that was fun.
So where were we?
Yeah. Congratulations, Chad.
Oh yeah, congrats. Yes. You and Shan.
Oh yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Y'all gonna have some tall cheerings.
Yes, sir. We've mended fences.
That's good.
I don't know if we're in a relationship necessarily, but
are you breaking up with her on the pod?
No. We're figuring things out.
All right. Okay. Grand opening. Grand closing.
I move quick. Fair Play is so funny.
Yeah, yeah. And those tights.
And he's wearing. I think he's wearing that to the
today.
He's got cigs in the event for children.
It's a see-through bag with Marlboros in it.
Can I get one of those?
Don't tell your mom. It's too high. Okay. All right. Where were we? I was just saying that it gives the magnitude of how Jesse is playing that Cody would actually
put so much trust
in its final six at this point. To give an idol back just to say, hey, man.
Crazy.
I'm living.
Okay.
I did love the way that Cody played the game, though, with, like, for most parts of his game, obviously super social, super funny, and had some really good strategic ability.
Yeah.
But then there's still this things like this where he shows that old school loyalty, and he has those, like, old school values and how he plays the game, where it's a really interesting combination of, like, really strategic, but also like super loyal, and it's like an interesting blend. And he just does it so in such an entertaining way.
Do we think? And again, do we think he was really that strategic, or was it Jesse?
I think Cody had some really good strategic chops. Like, I obviously think Jesse steered the ship a good amount, but I think for Cody's archetype, especially the way people on the island probably perceived him, he was a lot smarter and more strategic than people realize. I mean, just off the top of my head, thinking about when he did that camp raid,
okay,
he was able to
get all that
finesse
stuff.
The bargain to get more and leave people feeling better. I mean, you think about even last week, the way that he thought about, I mean, it didn't end up happening, but the way he thought about, all right, I want to get Cassie out for this reason because it's going to isolate Carla and then she's going to come work with us, things like that. I mean, he's thinking multiple layers and multiple steps ahead.
He does not think at home. He's not thinking in-house.
Yeah, I think he has a different view on the game, which is why things like this where he gives the, like, he doesn't expect that to happen. But as far as, like, the game as he knows it, I think he's really sharp.
I think we're watching Jesse evolve the game of Survivor. Mm. I think we're watching someone say, you know what? I'm shooting at my ally. Mm. I'm doing it early. I'm doing it whenever. I'm taking shots everywhere. I think this Jesse strategy is something that it's like, I think it's new. I think I think he's a game changer.
Yeah. I think this move was one of the most brilliant moves in recent memory, and that contributes to why we enjoyed the episode so much. I do remember, shout out to Adam Klein, I saw a clip of him talking about sort of this idea of, you know, even in recent seasons, your goal is to be in the majority and to be in the majority of that majority. But now there's so much movement within alliances and within the game,
so
where it's sort of like, and this is how you phrase it, it's almost a self, like, people expect to, like, alliances to implode. And so you actually want to be on sort of the bottom of the alliance because you're in the majority, but when people want to make a move, you're the one that they're going to come to, and you're able to make the first move because you're not part of that power, like, say it's an alliance of six, you're not in that power four, you're on the outside, and you're able to have more wiggle room. And now it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy where people expect those alliances to implode,
and
so they start to get paranoid, and then that causes, that farther leads them to that implosion where, but being like a Jesse where you're the one making the first moves is the most important thing, even if you trust the people, because naturally in this day and age it's so hard to actually
he comes back with friends.
Give him a
podcast anywhere I can. What's up, Bryce? You wouldn't let me on the podcast. I'm on here. What's up, baby?
Abraham came.
You guys are in good hands now.
Oh, yeah. Watch out, fam. You keep hitting the lights. That's it. A quick hello. All right. We'll see y'all.
Catch you guys.
20 minutes.
All right. That's our brother Abraham. He shows mad love. He's always
at us. We love Abraham. Make sure you check out his Instagram. And he has a Survivor podcast that is, Abraham, in my opinion, has better takes than Wendell. So listen, make sure you check Abraham out.
He probably does.
He does. So is it a saying of, my driver's always coming out, I'll scream. Is it like literally the saying, a wolf in sheep's clothing?
Is it Jesse? I mean, I think he disguises his strategy much better than a wolf.
Like or a sheep.
Well, if he's in sheep's clothes, like, I wouldn't, to an extent.
Right.
I don't think he's definitely playing the game very cutthroat, like a wolf. I mean, I think it's, I'd say like the sheep's clothing, not fully, like it is, I feel like if I was out there, you'd know he's strategic, okay. But I think he's doing it in a way that doesn't really concern people a whole lot, at least to this point, and also doesn't make people think like, he is gonna win. Mm. Where it's
until he lays it out.
Yeah, until he lays it out.
Pull it out. No. What type of dog does your mom? What type of dog is Dar?
Dar, short for Dar es Salaam, is a beagle,
and they are
hunting dogs.
Okay, so they don't herd.
No.
So, what's a herd and breed?
Like Australian Shepherd.
Okay, and I really feel like Jesse is an Australian Shepherd, where you have people, say you have sheep, who is like the
pushing them.
Right, and so, but they're not the top people. The people that are the farmers are like what you historically would think of, like a Sandra or a Tony or a thing. But like, you know, the shepherd dog is in with the sheep. And you know they're outside, but when it's time to go, they start to move them, and so that's really the analogy that I think of Jesse, because it's like, yeah, the dog.
That's a good analogy. Yeah, yeah. You want to be the one who's influencing things without, you know, the move being put. Almost on this point, you don't want the moves on your resume, but you want to be able to be like, you want to be the reference,
right? And it's almost like the moves speak for themselves. Because I feel like if you're on the jury and you see Cody getting voted out, like, I was like, I don't know what else I need more to see.
Yeah. And it's so smart of Jesse, because now he has this secret idol that is obviously going to be, when he uses it, very impressive to the whole jury that it was kept a secret. But, like, he was waiting for the right. He took this great shot. And then now he has the coverage next episode where he is the biggest threat. But there's nothing they can do about it unless they get him out and fire. So he's basically paved this path for himself where, you know, maybe a good 70% of the time he's going to make it to the end. And then if he does, he's going
to
win.
My question to you both, with who's remaining in the game, if we can say that there's a very, very, very high likelihood that Jesse is in the final four by using this idol.
Yep.
Can we also say that if Jesse does not win that next challenge, 100% he's going to be in fire against one of these people.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah.
I mean, I was talking to someone earlier, and I feel like although Jesse was keeping Owen out of the information, I still feel like him wielding the idol to Owen... Is that a word? Well, because I was going to say welding, but not welding.
Not willing?
Willing.
Giving?
Not too much.
Lending. Giving.
Right. Project. What's up?
He gazed
at it. I mean, I know, but I was trying to use another word. I thought it's like welding or whatever.
Wielding?
Wielding.
Not really.
Okay. So if I leave something in my will, that's...
You will it.
Will it.
Yeah.
So that's like...
But that would be like leaving it out here, like out of the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, right.
Just put wielding in and continue, and we'll get
we know what context.
Although he gave the idol to Owen, I think that might mean something to Owen. And in a world that we know that Owen has won immunity, Carla has won immunity, I could see Owen bringing Jesse to the end with him.
Nah, I think there's a 0% chance of that.
Okay.
I think there's a world in which if an Owen wins immunity...
He gives it up
and he plays Jesse in fire.
Oh. And that's kind of like...
I could see a lot of people doing that.
So, I mean, yeah, and that's, I mean, and for a move like that for Owen could go a very long way. And if he were to do that and to beat Jesse, and if he could sit at the final three.
So, hypothetically, what if it's then him, Gabler, and let's pick. Is it Cassidy? Cassidy or Carla? It's probably Cassidy.
I think Carla is probably on her next episode.
If Carla doesn't win.
If she doesn't win, but we know that she has it in her.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, in a world where it's... In a world where Owen just beats Jesse in fire, and now he's sitting next to Gabler and Cassidy.
That's what I'm most interested to, about, because I don't... Like, I don't think there's going to be a... Like, I think if Jesse or Carla get to the three, they're going to win.
Yeah.
I don't think they're both going to get to the three.
Right.
And so that remaining three of Owen, Gabler, and Cassie, I do think is the most interesting.
And you can see Cassie situation. Getting votes.
Yeah.
You can see Owen getting votes.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Another thing that kind of pissed me off this week was that, again, don't get me wrong, Jesse move was crazy. And to see what happened with Cody, crazy. To see Carla in that position was definitely worth talking about. But also, it's like, have people forgotten that, like, Cassidy has been on the chopping block this entire season and more than likely probably would have went home this episode and she pulled out a win. Like, that is, I mean, it's standard Survivor, but, like, when it's time to pull out a win,
she performs.
She performs. And it's like, that's, some people can't do that. And that's why people go home. So it's been pissing me off just a little bit that I haven't been hearing the conversation of Cassidy enough as a formidable opponent.
She won when she had to win.
I think she is a very solid player. Like, she doesn't, like, she deserves more credit. She hasn't had the opportunity yet to make any notable moves, in my opinion, but she's clearly very solid socially. She's a good competitor, and you know, the fact that she's been in a solid position the whole game, I think, speaks to her strategy. Like, I think her strategy really, it's like
survive.
She hasn't done anything notable, but she hasn't done anything notably bad either,
right?
And so she's been in a good spot, and that's why, you know, there is a world where I think she, like, can turn it on the next few weeks. Same with Owen and even a Gabler. If they can be the one to get credit for getting out of Carla and getting out of Jesse, I think that's how you make your case to win in that sort of final three circumstance. And I honestly think, even like, I gave Gabler a lot of shit early in the season, but what I've seen from Gabler the last, you know, four or five episodes, I really like it. And I don't, now he might not be able to win because I think he's perceived as sort of this, like, goofier, like, unaware older guy. But if I'm not mistaken, I don't think Gabler's ever voted wrong. And his whole strategy of the Alla Gabler, which was funny at first, is like,
but
he knows when to pop up and make, and he knows when his profile is low enough that he could pop up and stir the pot and push things in a direction. And then he really does go back under the water and stays in the right votes without making himself. Now, and I do think it is sort of like, you get to the merge. Gabler's pre-merge was so chaotic that, like, I think everyone's probably like, okay, that's a goat. Like, we can bring him to the end. So he hasn't maybe had the pressure on him. But I think given that circumstance, he's actually played really well. And I do think there's a world in which, I mean, we've seen a couple instances in the edit where Gabler, you know, goes to Owen and says, I have a plan on how to get us to the end. We don't see that actual plan.
Right.
We see Gabler talking about, okay, maybe we need to get out Jesse. We don't actually see his strategy for that. I do think there's a world where Gabler could get to a three, and then maybe it flashes back on Gabler laying out this plan to Owen, and that's exactly what happened. And then Gabler is able to communicate that to the jury, and maybe it buys him a couple of votes.
Two episodes ago, he told Owen, we need to break up Cody and Jesse.
Yeah.
And we don't know what hand that Gabler had in that.
Exactly.
So I will give it to you. However, I feel like as a viewer, I'm a little bit more empathetic to the Cassidy and Owen story, because Cassidy has had her back against the wall, and she's still here and has been pulling it out when need be. Also with Owen, he's been left out of the votes. We just relate to Owen. We know he's a Survivor fan. We know, like, how much it means to him. And you know, if he could do something like win, give it to Jesse and make him play him in fire. Like, for me, I feel like just given his story, it just weighs a little bit more.
I'm an Owen fan right now, and I think Owen's one of those players in the right now that, you know, the whole jury probably likes him. I mean, he hasn't really had a hand in voting them out, which for better or for worse, but I think he's someone where he's very likable. And I think also the entire jury, despite the fact that he's been kind of a disaster strategically, just in the sense that he's been getting left out of everything and hasn't really been able to get a foothold in the game, you look at him and you're like, okay, this guy's a big Survivor fan. He's social. He's a smart player. It hasn't worked out in his favor, but like, he has winner criteria on paper.
Right.
So if he's able to make some moves, like you were saying, I think the jury is like, okay, Owen came in the clutch here.
Right.
They might not love a Gabler or a Cassidy gameplay. If Owen's the one who puts the nail in the coffin, maybe beats Jesse in fire, I think Owen has a great case to win.
Or the jury even could have Owen Gill, knowing that they left him out for so long and now he's here and was able to make a move. So, like, it's just really interesting to see what could happen.
I agree with you both, and I'm excited to see what Owen does. In the interest of time, should we kind of jump towards how things
shook out?
How things are, like, or how things are going, like...
Yeah, because here's a good challenge, right? Because with this episode,
zoom through the two challenges real quick?
Well, I mean, you can even just miss me in the ball challenge. Although,
this is the challenge.
You can tie me up and roll me around, but listen, for this... For this episode, and the door opened too, real quick. But in this episode, I don't care about no damn Harvey. Get me to like the second half of it. Like, y'all could have spent 2 hours and 47 minutes on that. But all right. But yeah, let's get to. They tied me up. Well, they pulled me around.
We had the reward challenge, like super fast reward challenge, blindfold, ball rolling, table maze. Owen, Cody, and Carla win that. Go to the Survivor Sanctuary. It's sort of more Carla making some lies, playing it up.
Put it under your arm.
Playing up her position in the game, saying, oh, I don't have an idol. Fake tears. And then they get back to camp. That's kind of disproven. Puts Carla in a bad spot. Then we get to the immunity challenge. They have to maneuver through an obstacle course, complete a bat puzzle. Carla gets there last, starts making great progress on the puzzle, but her hands and her body just start sort of shutting down. And so it becomes very close between Cassidy and Cody, and Cassidy ends up winning the challenge, and then we are now back at camp prior to this epic tribal.
I love puzzles and stuff like that. That was awesome to watch. Even the puzzles where it looks like one piece goes in the right place and it throws you off. So yeah, that was awesome to watch. Cassidy did a great job in that when she had to. Now we're back at camp, and you have Cody wanting to make a move on Carla.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes up to her saying, like, hey, we're going to just act like
we're going to bluff
our idols to everybody, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
He tells that plan to Owen.
Mm-hmm. He gets the guys on board. Yes.
And then who tells it to Jesse when Jesse's like, wait a minute?
Jesse was in on that plan as well.
Okay.
Cody obviously looped him in, given that that was his number one. Jesse realizes, you know, if we can get Cody to feel comfortable with this, we could take a shot at Cody. Which, to me, at first, did not really make sense. Because kind of like, you know, if you are holding Cody's idol regardless, why not get Carla now and get Cody at the five? But what I think separated this move and really solidified it as a great move was you play Cody's idol, and this is skipping out a little bit, the idea to play an idol on Owen to prompt Carla to then burn her idol sets up a clear path for Jesse now, where he's flushed all the idols but his own secret one, and then he's gotten out, you know, a Cody. And I do think there's merit to getting out of Cody, because say Carla does go, I think Cassidy, Gabler, Owen might be like, okay, now we do need to split up a Cody and a Jesse. Now, at that point, Jesse would have the idols, still would get to four. Cody would probably go. But I think for the jury, it's now more credit to Jesse's case, where he's taking the initiative and he'll be able to put the target on Carla next episode if he wants, or whoever he wants to. and it's almost like he's guided the whole thing. Whereas, you know, if a Carla goes now and then everyone else targets a Cody next episode, even if Jesse jumps on board, he might not get the same credit.
And also they said Cody's, well, we saw Cody's a great fire maker. So, like, if he were to squeak through, then he could
true.
Yeah, he could do things to pad himself.
100%.
And also the move, after we've seen this strongish edit from Carla this whole time, she's kind of left out of everything.
Yeah.
And she is voting against someone that Jesse stands up and protects.
Mm, yeah.
So it's like, all right, you look kind of silly right now in front of the jury.
It moves her down to the point where if somehow, A, she's not as strong of a competitor as Cody, I don't think, in the terms of fire, and even the final five, final four challenge, we see in this challenge at the final six, her body is just sort of starting to shut down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, especially when you think of challenges like fire where your hands are essential, and she's had issues with her hands all game, Jeff points it out in the challenge, or, you know, some of the notorious final five, final four challenges or infamous challenges like the one with the like balls on a track and they're rolling. I forget what it's called.
Oh, yeah, that thing you I won't.
It's like something omatics. I forget what it's called. But.
Yeah. Oh no!
And if she's having issues grabbing the balls, then it's gonna be
put me in.
Then whereas Cody might be he might be grabbing instead of lifting. But, so yeah, I mean, we see this plot sort of unfold in all this post-tribal stuff. Like you said, all this information, and this is the power of Jesse having all this information. I think he is sort of that central figure of knowledge in the tribe, and this is the time where he's able to utilize it to make a great move and get Owen and Gabler on board. And he's able to, you know, we all see how it plays out, and it just, I don't think there's any argument. That was a really strong move.
Very strong.
And one thing to note is how the jury perceived it.
Mm.
There were some big reactions. They were like, yeah. And then another thing to point out is how
Cody himself,
Cody received it. First of all, watching him while these votes are read and while Jesse plays idol on Owen, watching Cody is a good guy. Like, we know this. We know this guy. And watching the pain and everything on his face is just like, you can really feel it.
Yeah.
And then for him to have to get up and get his torch, Jesse stands up, Cody gives him a look. It's like a heartbreaking look. And then he gives him a jab. And it's like, is that game recognizing game? Like, damn, you got me. Or is it, you know, damn, that's a great game move. Or is it like, how did you guys receive that embrace?
I mean, just how you explained it. And it's like, again, huge props to Cody for that embrace, because you know me, I'll put myself in that shoe and I don't know, I would give you the stare of death. Like, I don't know. And I'm sure after I got the pound of roaster, you know, wet the whistle, I'm sure I would then be like, my bro got me. But in that moment, I was only out there 9 days and I saw my name 3 times and I was hot, ready to fight. So in that moment, with my closest ally, like, I think that, again, I feel like you said, game recognizes game. And I think that, again, just even in that moment, I just a lot of respect for Cody.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, where I think Cody definitely was pissed. Like, we see, despite him being a strategic player, he's never sort of been disloyal. Like, he's always stuck with his guy, made moves with him, but never even considered turning on him. And so I think rightfully so, Cody is upset. But I do think what is very underrated is that Jesse did go that extra step. You know, you could just let him sit there and be mad at you and, you know, not even look at him, but to stand up and embrace him. And say, you know, I'm going to explain this to you. I think it brings Cody to a point where he's going to be upset, but he might get to a final tribal. And if Jesse's there, Jesse can say straight up, like, I love you, man, but I need this for my family. And, like, look him in the eye. And I think Jesse, that's something Jesse would and can do. And I think Cody, he has Cody in a place where I think Cody will be ready to receive that and give him that vote.
We got a confessional from Jesse where he said, hey, look, I love Cody, but I love my family.
Mm.
And he was like teary. And he said, that's where my allegiance is.
Yeah.
And if I think about Ghost Island, I could see Dom's actually saying that, that we didn't have the right shots at each other, but that's the kind of guy Dom is.
Yeah, that was the mentality.
Right, and I almost think that had Dom done that to me,
you would be pissed, but at the end of the day,
I'd give him that respect and give him that vote. And like, Jesse, you saw him get teary-eyed and in the confessional, and I think that in a final tribal, if he gets there, he's gonna get people, like, he's gonna get people really, he's gonna give him that story.
And I think there's no question he's genuine in that, being very upset about getting Cody, and I mean, I think where sometimes I understand the being upset at a close ally is when I think, you know, maybe that move is not necessary. Like, maybe your ally stabs you in the back and then they go home next and you're like, what the hell were you thinking? Like, not only did you stab me in the back, but it just wasn't a good move for you. It was dumb. For Jesse, you know, assuming he's able to pitch his case at the end of the game, if he could just say straight up, Cody, I don't think I could have beat you, and if getting you out was the difference between getting $1 million for me and my family, I had to do it. I love you, but like you, it's a very clear cut thing where you could say to Cody, this was what I had to do and I knew it in the moment, and that's why I never even considered it until this moment when it was so apparent to me that it had to be done.
And it's like that move pushed you towards the end of the game. That move directly is
exactly
going to put him in the final four.
It's a statement move, and it's a clear cut play, whereas if it happened beginning of the merge, it's like, well, why are you doing that? Like, I had your back. But having someone's back only goes so far if you can't
win it. So two things that come to my mind. I feel like Jesse reminds me a lot of Omar last season in the sense of being like just this pivotal person that has all of the knowledge, and again, different game styles, but like just reminds me a lot of where Omar was. But I feel like Jesse has secured his spot because I feel like Jesse will ultimately be in the final four because he has that idol. So that's the one statement. My second statement is, now let me go off a little bit. I understand y'all saying, oh, he got Carla looking foolish, she flushed her idol and this and that, but she had an idol to play. Most people go home with fire tokens or idols in their pockets. So regardless of the misstep that she had, anybody in that position, whether y'all are you psyching me out or you testing me.
That's why it was so brilliant of Jesse. Because you know when you play an idol for Owen, for Carla, it looks so obvious that she would be the target that – any, like you said,
any player,
it would be dumb not
to. And so, like, and that's just what I'm saying is that, like, y'all gonna stop coming at my girl because, again, Jesse is a top tier player and he set that move up perfect. At this point in the game, Carla's not taking a risk to go home. No. So she's not done yet. And again, I love everybody. So I'm excited, but like I be seeing a lot of people just being like, "Oh, Carla, Carla this, Carla that." She's there. She's got to where she is, and I think like the thing that frustrates me about Survivor, and what I love about this new era is that like we've never seen a Jesse style before. Sorry. We've never seen. I get a little hype. We've never seen a Jesse style before, so it's interesting. But also, Carla's style is interesting and innovative as well. It's like she just walking the path. It's like a Sandra Diaz.
She and Jesse play very similarly, in my opinion. I just think when she turned on Cassidy, she lost a lot of her leverage because she sort of isolated herself. But Jesse has had these connections and maintained them.
So sure, but I mean, we don't. And I can't wait till the season's over so that I can hear different thought processes. But I'm just saying that like, Carla might be shooken, but she's not broke.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see what will happen. But no, I give it to Jesse. And, you know, but although Jesse not going through a divorce, I won't talk about it right now. But I will say this, though. If Jesse do win $1 million, the reconcilable differences might not be ill. They might be reconcilable. So, Jesse, if you hear it,
might not be ill.
Isn't it irreconcilable?
Yeah, but they're not, they'll be reconcilable. They're not going to be ill. So, Jesse, if you listen to this, I mean, I'm willing to go to counseling.
Did you sign a prenup?
We didn't sign a prenup because, you know, he was away. I was writing him. So, you know, humble beginning. So, but Jesse, if you listen to this.
Where was he away?
You know, he was, you know, in our family, we say they was at camp.
Spring break.
Spring break. So the door not closed yet, Jesse. So you know when you was in the confessional, you said you like Cody, but your family means more important. I got a little teary eyed, Jesse. I got a little teary eyed. If you win that million.
Just think of little old Bryce.
Little old Bryce, okay? But also, Carla is still in it. My girl Cassidy is doing her thing. Mm-hmm. Old Zaddy is still finding his way, okay? What's the peanut? It's time to wake. I need Alligator to...
Whoa, we're Final Four.
Okay, somebody needs to just wake Alligator up. But this season is amazing, so I just wanted to just...
Yeah. One thing I've been thinking about that I wanted to throw out to you guys. Like we said, there's no question it's a great move by Jesse. What I was thinking, do you guys know the meme where it's like pointing the gun at the back of someone's head, but then that person's like pointing at the back of someone's head, and then like that person, and like at the end, like Jesse's like up in the balcony, like shooting them all down, like taking them all out, because there's so many layers to it. I think there's one layer farther here where if I'm an Owen, I hear this plan and I go to a Gabler and a Cassie. I say, hey, what if us three put our votes on Jesse? And then we get Jesse out. All the idols are flushed. Carla looks like a fool. Cody looks like a fool. And now if I'm on Owen, I've now made the biggest move in the game. And that could be my game winning move. Yeah. I feel like
that would have been crazy.
Maybe it was discussed. I mean, that would have been insane. Maybe it was discussed, but it felt like Owen and Gabler were just so happy to be in on a plan that they didn't take it one step farther and say, is there a way we could switch this and put it in our favor? And I think that could have been, I don't know if it would have happened. Like, if Owen and Gabler go to Cassidy, does that plan come together? I don't know. But I think that would have been just such a phenomenal move. And I think that's the move that really Owen could have made that and been the new clear-cut favorite to win. Although... then that might happen. You go and let five. It's possible.
I think that takes certain thinkers. Like, I don't think if Jesse gave me that plan, I don't think I would think that. Mm-hmm. However, I think if there were two Jessies on this island and Jesse number one gave Jesse number two that plan, Jesse number two would say, okay, now I know where all the votes are going. Now this is how we're going to, like, I think Jesse is that kind of player. He's always looking for that other way.
Exactly.
Whereas if someone came to me with info, I might be like, yeah, that's a good, safe bet. Let's do it. Instead of what is actually the best bet to posture me or to position me to win the game.
100%. No, I don't think. Yeah, obviously it's not something. It's not something everyone would be able to pull off. But I do feel like Owen especially could have made it happen.
I think he could have.
But I do think, you know, when he knows there's these idols out there, I feel like for him and Gabler, by extension, any plan that's like, oh, I'm going to be safe?
Locked down.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, like, I think it would have been really epic if they could have pulled that off. And it would honestly would have been so crazy because layer one, you have Carla thinking, oh, we're just going to bluff our idols, get out Owen. Layer two is Cody thinking, oh, we're bluffing the bluffing of the idols, we're taking out Carla. Layer three, like we saw, Jesse then playing the idol on Owen, getting Carla play her idol and taking out Cody. Mm. And then if you put in layer four, where it's like me, if it's a me, Cassidy, and Gabler, the three of us just vote for Jesse and he goes home, all the idols are out of the game. And they don't even know Jesse has that backup idol. And maybe that's why Owen's maybe even more on board with this plan, because if you don't think Jesse has an idol, which no one does, you just get him at five.
Yeah. Right.
Because if I'm Owen now, I'm like, I can get out Jesse at five and Carla at four, probably, and sit with, you know, Gabler and Cassie, like, that sounds actually pretty good to me.
Yeah. And when's the last time for Shot in the Dark?
I think five.
So next episode.
Probably.
Okay.
All right.
So, yeah.
But, I mean, one episode left.
One episode
left. But that's exactly why, because obviously we know Jesse has an idol. Nobody else does. He's going to get the same crazy reaction next episode when he's like, yeah, this is Janine's idol and I'm safe. Because it's either going to be him or Carla getting all the votes, I feel like. Yeah. And so that just adds to his resume. And obviously, exactly why you keep it a secret, because maybe if Owen had known that, then he thinks of that move. Yeah. He's like, I need to flush all the idols.
Yep.
But he thinks Jesse's vulnerable.
reminds me of Tony a lot in the sense of, like, Tony always had these crazy ideas and he always says that he kept them to himself.
Yeah.
And so, like, just reminds me of Jesse. So, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy to be here with the baby boys recording live for the Purple Pants podcast. It's been great. So tune in next week. We'll hopefully give it to you live again. We'll be in L.A. again for the finale. Unfortunately, tickets are sold out. There might be one or two, so go click and check. But they sold out, unfortunately. But listen, we'll be on Tuesday night. Next Tuesday, we'll be at Oz's karaoke party. So it's going to be a great time. But before we go, since we have Jack in person, and I think that, Jack, they were eating you alive in the comments. Some people said it's a little disrespectful. You ain't know who Luther Vandross was. So I feel like you gotta do the Purple Pants karaoke to test Young Jackery's knowledge.
Alright.
Okay. How did you get here? Nobody's supposed to be here.
Oh man.
I tried that love thing for the last time. Here now,
who is it?
Title
no,
name.
I have no idea. You guys need to start giving me some research to do.
Title,
and then I can come in prepared, studied up on the material.
Title,
but you just name. Come out with songs that I came out before I was born. And you're like, how have you not learned this yet? How have you not listened to every song from before when you were born, Jack? Title and name.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's the same thing. Title and artist.
Title and artist. Not too much. I think that you should be.
I need a clue.
You could at least guess the title. Nobody's supposed to be.
Nobody's supposed to be.
Okay. We'll give them Deborah Cox. Nobody's supposed to be here. Let's give them another song.
That other one that you always singing, I didn't know.
Okay. Let's do. Oh, okay. Let's. If he doesn't know this,
then we kicking him out.
If he doesn't know this,
then he's not the moderator.
Getting a little tired of your broke promises. Looking at your pages saying numbers and numbers. Call you on the side, you're hanging with the others. Hanging with my, always getting jealous and jealous. I was with you when you didn't have no drama, no drama. Hanging with the kids, always with your mama. Never funded you, never brought the drama, the drama. Now you hit the hit player, please. No, I'm not the one. Say it again, say it again. Oh, no, I'm not the one. You do what you do. You do or you won't. You can or you oh. No more. No more. They will never do right. Title artist. Jack.
Say it again.
Okay, well, we'll give you a half a point.
What's it called?
No more.
No more.
Getting tired of your promises, promises. She has a lisp.
Not too much. 3LW.
That's the name of the group. You never heard of 3LW?
I've never heard
Adrian
of
Balon,
Keely Williams, and Naturi Williams.
Just you guys start sending me some
okay, one more. Okay, one more. Oh my god.
I'm gonna know.
Yeah, well listen, it's just funny. What's another good one?
Do you remember the time?
Is that bracelet from South Africa?
Love. Remember the time when we first met, girl. Remember the time, oh, I fell in love. Do you remember the time
when we remember my baby? Remember the time?
I forgot to remember. All right, who's the singer?
Go ahead. I turned around and Jack is red.
Was he singing?
No. Basically.
He was. That's a lyric.
That's literally how it goes. I turned around and Jack is red.
I forgot to remember.
Okay. They call him the King of Pop.
Oh.
Oh, Jack.
It's not Michael Jackson.
Oh. Yeah.
There we go.
I just didn't want to say Michael Jackson be wrong because someone is it like David Bowie is also like the prince of pop.
We are.
I know it's not David Bowie.
Cut to camera off.
David Bowie is called like the prince of pop, right?
No.
And that is going to conclude this week's Survivor News. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever it is that you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to subscribe, write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars. Don't forget to subscribe and watch along on the audio podcast on video over there on YouTube. Type in Bryce Isaiah, subscribe, give that video a thumbs up, and let us know in the comments what you think. And don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Not too much, because it's a
it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. Mm-hmm. It's the purple pants, it's the purple pants.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.